Taking our Bibles once more, let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. This week we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 11 in chapter 1. And the title of the sermon comes from the verse 9, there's nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1, I'll read verses 1 through 11. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, to have this time with you, to be in your presence and to have your very word before us. I ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to take your word and make it alive to each one of us here, that we won't just hear the opinion of men, but we'll hear you declaring to us what is true, what is real, what is life. For your word is alive. And so, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. Well, with the introduction to the book of Ecclesiastes, let's recall this major theme is vanity of vanities, all is vanity, or vapor of vapors, everything is a vapor. And this then is now where the preacher wants to bring to our attention this pragmatic question in verse 3. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? What's the point of all our labor if our life is so brief? What's the point of all our works and efforts if, poof, We hear and then we're gone. It's a sharp question. And the preacher begins to now unfold for us this, giving us these three reasons to consider. It reinforces this brevity, the transient nature of our life. The first one we find in verse 4, and it has to deal with the passing generations of man. Verse 4 says, a generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Compared to God's creation of the earth, man's life is but a short cycle. One cycle comes and then goes, and the next one after that follows. But all along, the earth is still there, spinning and rotating around the sun, just where God placed it. As one generation fades and another arrives, the impermanence of men is contrasted with the permanence of the earth. We are meant to see our transient nature. We are but vapor, a mist. We're here and then gone. The second reason the preacher gives for us to think about is the endless cycles of nature. It's meant to show us that there is no satisfaction. There's no sense of fullness. It's just one continuous cycle after another. And so the first metaphor he uses is the sun in verse 5. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. We're meant to think of the sun as making its rounds and then hurrying to get back to where it started from. It just can't wait to do it again and again as God has ordained it. And it repeats and repeats day after day. The next example of the endless cycle is the wind. Verse 6, the wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuit, the wind returns. Interesting, we have the direction here of the wind is stated as being north to south, and the sun rises, moves east to west. And so here we have all the four corners of the earth are in motion, and around it all goes. And soon enough, the wind returns to the place where it began, again, in order to do it all over again. And the third example is the waters. Verse 7, all streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where streams flow, where they flow again. The rains are gathered into the sea, but the sea doesn't overflow. It doesn't ever fill up. They return and become rain again. And so the cycle goes on. And so what is our work in comparison to the work of creation, which just keeps going, keeps going? These are the thoughts that he's driving at, he's pushing us to. Sometimes it's difficult for us to think about the transitory nature of our lives when we compare it to the permanence of creation. You see, the day after I die, the sun will still rise. The world will go on. I just won't be here. One generation comes and then goes. Life is fleeting. And so like the examples of the sun, the wind, and the waters, there can be all this movement and motion, but it never really gets anything done. It never meets an end to its goal. It just keeps going. And so we keep this pragmatic question before us as a reminder. What do I gain by all the toil under the sun? I'm only here for a short time, but the earth will still be here when I'm gone. The perpetual movement and the endless cycles of nature don't seem to be accomplishing anything. What difference will I make? I don't even like getting up early for work. Now the preacher offers us a third perspective to consider. Under the sun, there is nothing new. In fact, as this merry-go-round just keeps going around and around and around, it's exhausting. Verse 8. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. All these things which he's been speaking of, this busyness, the actions, the fruitless, endless cycles, they're all exhausting. Indeed, the preacher says time would fall short. Words would fail to speak of how exhausting and fatiguing it is. And it is quite dissatisfying. The eye cannot see enough, or the ear hear enough. It's exhaustion and it's dissatisfaction. Did you see that new car that came out? It looks great. And then in 3 years, the world's going to be saying, how lame. How old is that design? When is the refresh coming? Or have you heard this band or this song? There's always some new music, some new tune, but has there really been any good music since the 80s? I'm just asking. But honestly, it's hard for me to listen to new music because it really all sounds the same. My ears get tired of hearing the same old, same old. My eyes get tired of seeing the same thing over and over. And why? Because it's been done before. That's verse 9. What has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. I mean, besides being a pretty cool rhyme, that's a pretty bold statement. There's nothing new under the sun. There isn't anything new. You might question that. Technology has certainly improved. I mean, we can fly in airplanes now. And maybe our preacher could only get around in a chariot or on a horseback. But the point the preacher is saying, yeah, but is that really something new? Whether you arrive by horseback or boat, plane, or by foot, you're still traveling from point A to point B. Verse 10 says, is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. What are we on, the iPhone 16 now? It's pretty much similar to the iPhone 3, but it's got a better camera. It's got more memory. But it's a phone. It's been done. Before that, we communicated in other ways, even things called pen and paper. The New Bible Commentary puts it like this, quote, as several commentators note, Solomon did not intend by this to deny human creativity, but to deny the complete newness of people's accomplishments. For example, a man's journey to the moon and the discovery of America, though different, were both explorations of distant places involving adventure and risk. And the invention of dynamite and of the atomic bomb shared the element of discovering an explosive. Thus, what is true in the realm of nature, this constant repetition of previous accomplishments is in essence true of the activity of people and is included in the observation that all things produce only indescribable weariness and lack of satisfaction. All things are wearisome, from verse 8. So as we arrive to the final verse of our text, it seems like here the preacher doesn't hold back at all. Verse 11, there is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. There we might say, ouch. Brian Borgman, in his book, he gives this example. He says, well, what if they name a street after me? He says, nobody will know who the guy is whose name is on a street sign. Your name just becomes an automated voice on a GPS. Turn left on Borgman Boulevard. Nobody will care. Koheleth is brutally honest. How many of you can remember your grandparents? How many of you can remember your great-grandparents? How many of you can remember your great-great-grandparents? And that's only three generations. Maybe there's some pictures in an old family album. But I can look at the pictures in my family album, and if you ask me who they were, I'd say I'd have to get back to you on that. But even if I could give you a relation, I wouldn't really be able to tell you who they were. And that's just the nature of being man. We are transient. We're here and then gone. See, life without God is meaningless. And given how brief life is it time that we just get off? Is it time that we just get off the spinning wheel, the spinning hamster wheel? Well, soon enough, we will get off. But there has to be more to life than just spinning around and around. You know, as the world turns, or these are the days of our lives. Or, well, life has to be more than a soap opera, right? But without God, your life is but a puff of air. And this should really not sit well with us. Why? Because we are creatures who have been made for more. We have an eternal soul that's been given to us by our Creator. We were made to be in relationship with our Creator. The Catechism answer to the question, what is the chief end of man, tells us plainly, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This world will never satisfy us. Nothing will satisfy the divine need we have. Only God can satisfy. But our relationship with our Creator was broken when sin entered into this world. And because of our sin, and we no longer have access to God. Our relationship has been severed. We've been cut off. Sin has separated us from holy God. And the only way for us to have peace with God is through the reconciliation by the means that He supplied. And this is the sending of His Son, Jesus. Jesus gives life meaning. He gives us reason to live in the here and now on our pilgrimage through this life. But this is not all there is. There is life, and life more abundant, that Jesus has for us. In Psalm 73, the psalmist writes, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." For believers, our heart resounds with the truth of those words. God has made us in His image, and even though we have sinned, His image remains with us. And even if it is marred because of our sin, our soul testifies that we were made for God. There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Nothing else will suffice. The newness of things will wear off. The calendar moves on and on, event after event, birthday after birthday, and so on. But eternity awaits us. But it will either be an eternity with God or away from God. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty of sin and to atone for all who will repent of their sin and put their trust in Him. This is the way of salvation. This is the only way of salvation. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 4, he writes this: "We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So, we are always of good courage." Amen? Our life is brief, and while the earth, the sun, the wind, the rains are all doing their thing, we too are doing our thing, glorifying God in how we live. And this is the point that those who do not trust God, they miss. This is why life without God is so dissatisfying. This is why no amount of stuff, no amount of money, this new thing or that will ever bring them the fullness that their hearts crave. God made us for Himself. It is only when we operate in harmony, in reconciliation, and in unity through the Son that we have true meaning and true life. So don't be discouraged. Rather, be encouraged. God has made a way for us to be whole, to be filled with joy and love, and it is by grace, through the efficacious work of Jesus on the cross. He died and was raised to life so that we too may be raised from death to life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for showing us in your word that we desperately need you. A life without you is meaningless. And that even now, we know and recognize that we are here but for days that you have ordained. But we know we have an eternal life to come. And so, Lord, as we are here, we pray, God, that you would continue to conform us more and more into the image of Christ, that we may continue to glorify you in all that we say and all that we do, and that we would share with others the gift of your Son, their desperate need of a Savior. Help us to be the light that would shine Christ to them. And we thank you and we pray in your name. Amen.